子，这是黄氏娥问的。
谁？
黄氏娥，峨眉山的娥，知识的是。
嗯，你想给人治病呢，先把自己的病架设好了再。
The question is, how do you aid sick people? The answer is, if you really want to cure other people's illnesses, first you have to cure your own illness.
那第二个问题是，年轻人如何把握念佛一心不乱？
多打一点女人的妄想去就可以。
How can a young person take charge and learn to recite the Buddha's name to single-mindedness without confusion? And the answer is, the answer will be found in the matter of having false thoughts about women.
第三个问题是如何对色相不执着？这它下面呢就写针对社会呢色情患难。
谁问的？
这叫黄氏娥。
还是黄氏娥？
啊，请你站起来。
嗯。你怎么这么多问题？一个人问一个问题，已经是就是够了又够了，这么贪那么多干什么？不要小口头禅，知道也不要小那个石头人，会说不会行。
This person has asked many many questions, and there should be one question per person only.This is already quite enough if you really mean the question. If all you do is talk lip service, then you become a person who's like a stone. You can make a lot of noise, but you can't practice.
你问三个问题，他问五个问题，那个人问十个问题，那个人问一百个问题，怎么样答复？
If you ask three questions, someone else asks five, another person 10, another 100. When is there ever time to answer all these questions?
贪多嚼不烂呢，在口里啊，你满口都是饭呢，你没有法咽下去了。
The answer is, if you bite off more than you can chew, when will you ever be able to digest it? Your mouth is just jammed full, you can't even chew.
下面这个问题是张果明问的，他问信受佛法者如何护持菩提心？
谁叫你不护持来的？
How can a sincere and vigorous cultivator of the way hold on to the Bodhi resolve? Well, who told you to not hold on to it?
This 个问题，这是私人的问题啊。上人阿弥陀佛，弟子有一件事情，请法师开示。对，因为。年少一直到年老呢，如今已经五十多岁，夫妻感情不和，忽外遇，丈夫有了外遇，从年轻到现在还是不变，还是没有变。我平常做得多好，体贴他还是看我如仇敌，这是什么原因呢？夫妻儿女也是这样，请法师开示。弟子刘如英。
那可以结多几次婚吗？看看哪个不是冤家仇敌。牙子是黄连，自己有苦自己知，何必又问人家。
In general, the question was a problem with the marriage, and the answer was get married a few more times.
这是反说的，应该不结婚本来，就这些问题都没有。谁又逼着你结婚来的？
Shouldn't have gotten married in the first place. Who forced you into it?Wouldn't have had any of these problems if you hadn't gotten married.
那哥，你看，
你有这些个问题，找逼着你结婚那个人去。
Take your problems. take your marital problems back to the person who forced you into it to begin with.
好了，不答复问题了，时间已经过了差不多半个钟头了，25分钟有了。这个我道显德薄，所谓才疏小浅，这个知识简单，本来是一个乡下人出身，那么遇到你们这些城市的。文化的高人呢，说话有的不得当的地方，那么无论说答复你们对不对，你们自己用你们自己的智慧去选择，是道在进，非道在退，宅善而从，不善而改。 Everybody good night.
So, and we're already 25 minutes over time, and I'm a person who doesn't know how to keep my accounts. My account books are not balanced, so I'm also from the country, and when I arrive at the city with all this fancy culture and all the lofty people, I simply can't measure up to you. So, I don't know if anything I've said in answering your questions is right or wrong, but if it's right, if it's the way, walk down. If it's not the way, retreat from it. If it's good, then follow it. If it's not good, you should change in yourself. Whatever is good, you should follow. Go away, Wan'an.
Here, with your hand, wisdom find itself.
Everyone should use his or her own wisdom to choose for yourself. If it's wrong or right, you should use your wisdom to choose. What is right, you should follow. What is right. Then follow it. If it's not good, you should change in yourself. Whatever is good, you should follow. Go away, Wan'an.
Here, with your hand, wisdom.
Everyone should use his or her own wisdom to choose for yourself. If it's wrong or right, you should use your wisdom to choose. What is right, you should follow. What is wrong, you should change in yourself.
Thank you. 闻到我的名字了，你就魂飞泰山。退避三舍，逃之夭夭。所以可以说啊，我提倡的任法令金罗外道恐怖无数。我到什么地方去，金罗的外道都离我远远。可是有一些个天魔外道也都要想要改邪归正，所以他们又来了护持道人。那么这是啊，我听佛法的一个经验。有的人就很相信这个事情，有的人呢也专门的抵制政府，反对政府。为什么呢？因为政也存在，邪也不存在，所谓邪政不能并立。因为这个呢，诽谤我的人与信仰我的人呢，超过10000倍。因为他们都是讨厌正法，他晓得正法要入世的，他们就都啊，等于死亡一样，所以啊，也极力的反对。一律的用他这个这种啊神通啊妙用啊来抵制，可是怎么样子也抵制不了。如此，那么正常还是要存在。
All the people joining the audience, when I first left the home life, I heard someone say that this is the time of the Dharma that this is the time when the Dharma is beginning. I said, what is the Dharma in the age? And he said, this is the time when the Dharma leaves the roots and goes out to the branch tips. This is the time when the Dharma reaches the very last moment of survival. When I heard this explanation, I made a vow, and I said, I will, wherever I go, only the proper Dharma is allowed to survive. I will not allow the Dharma's end to take place. Wherever I go, I will eliminate disasters and increase blessings and wisdom. I will make the proper Dharma survive and not let the Dharma in the age continue. So it's the case that I don't know my own strength, but wherever I go, I speak the Dharma, I practice the proper Dharma, and I propagate the proper Dharma. As a result, the gods, the heavenly demons, and those in outside ways, those in other paths, the goblins and the freaks, all the different weird groups, they are scared to death. To the point where as soon as they hear my name, their souls scatter and split. They run away with their tails between their legs. Why? It's because to find someone who propagates the proper Dharma simply scares them to death. So, wherever I appear, the heavenly demons, and those from other paths lead me far behind. They go far away from where I am. But there's still a number who like to change, who like to turn around, turn people into what is proper, and protect me in the proper Dharma. This has been my experience as I practice Buddhism. Now, there are some people who believe in the proper Dharma, and likewise there are others who oppose the proper Dharma. Now, how can this be? It's because if the proper Dharma survives, then the Shia, the deviant, must go. There's a saying that says the deviant and the proper cannot mutually abide. So, this being the case, those who slander the proper Dharma exceed in numbers those who believe in the proper Dharma by 100,000 myriads of times. The slanderers are more.
Why is this true? It's because the proper Dharma survives, and those who practice deviant Dharmas are just like dead people. They might as well be dead. So they vigorously oppose it. They use their shungpa, their spiritual power, to oppose it. They exert themselves to the utmost, and yet they still can't do it again. They can't get rid of the proper Dharma. And so the proper Dharma is still here to this day.
There's simply no flavor of human sentiment in the city of 10,000 Buddhas.
and I'm afraid that this simply scared him after not hearing me to leave. But the way I see it is the colder the better, because, as the saying says, if your face is cold, your heart is warm. Most people don't recognize this, this truth, however. And people who come further must pass tests. There's all kinds of characters in the city of 10,000 Buddhas. There's creatures there of every description. There are dragons and snakes mixed in together. There are people and there are also ghosts. There are sages and there are immortals. Now, is it the case that when the ghosts are afraid of people or the people are afraid of ghosts? I'm not really sure. But often it's the case that these two groups can't get along together. And they have to go.
天天就这么巧，那天晚间我讲华严经讲到半，一半，我说你们各位在金山寺我都知道，是非常困难，一天吃一餐，还要做苦工，做的又累又饿，也没有法子解决这个问题。我说我告诉你，你们一个好方法，你们可以调老鼠，你老鼠饿了就当个拉萨桶去找东西，拉萨桶里啊那好东西啊很多很多，你要想饿也可以吃饱，那么就不调得那么困难。我说完这话，他这个横顺吓得就不敢出动，真是钻到洞里去了。他住那个房间呢，在房间住了有好几天，也不敢出来吃饭了。
Now there was another assembly that took place at that time, and he was washing dishes in the afternoon, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. Probably he was working so hard that he got hungry, and he couldn't take it, and he started to look for something good to eat. And he looked over to the right side, and there was a garbage can, and in the garbage can was a tremendous number of very delicious cakes, sweet cakes. He thought, what a windfall, this is perfect, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And so he used his eyes as a thief to look left and right and in front and the back, looked very carefully with his radar in all four directions, and he was sure there was no one there. Nobody was watching. And so he went to the garbage can and ate his fill, gobbled the cakes down, and cured the problem of his hungry stomach. Now, his hungry stomach being cured, wouldn't this be a coincidence? Such a coincidence it was that I was lecturing the Abhinavastra Sutra that night. Right halfway through the Dharma lecture, I said this: at Golden Monastery, cultivation is very troublesome, a lot of problems. You have to work hard, and you can only eat one meal a day, so you can be both tired and hungry, and have no way to solve your problem. If that's your situation, then you can be like a mouse. Don't worry, you can go to the garbage can. There's all kinds of good stuff in the garbage can. If you didn't get your fill, then you should feel free to eat all the garbage there and solve the problem. Now, I said that to him, and he was so scared that he ran up to his
room.
I told everybody that, and not just him. And he was so scared that he ran up to the third floor and he didn't come out of his mouse hole for several days. The mouse was there and he didn't even dare come out to eat.
他讲一种我要用产品的维护，说我不能拿出来给你看，那你不能拿出来看，那你怕什么？然后我转转头就走。就这样呢，他也出来吃饭。
Now, I had not spoken to him for all of the 6 months that he had been at Guogang. Not even one sentence had I spoken to him. But today I went down the hall to his room, and knocked on the door. At first it didn't open. He was standing behind the door, scared. So somebody else opened the door. And he looked around and he said, "Oh, it's you!" And here I was. And he was so scared, his eyes opened wide, just like a mouse that you caught. He was ready to run, just the way a mouse runs away. So I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm scared." And I said, "What are you scared of?" And he said, "You can read my mind. You know what is in my mind." He said, I said, "That's a lot of nonsense. What is your mind like? Is it round? Is it square? Is it rectangular? Is it triangular? What shape is your mind? Is it red? Is it black? Is it white? Is it yellow? What color is your mind? Bring it out, mouse, and show it to me." He said, well, I can't." So I said, "Well, if you can't bring out your mind, then show it to me, and what do you think of it?" And I turned around and left. And at that point, he realized he couldn't find his mind, so he came out and started to eat again.
说的是你一切众生能圆满佛，为什么能圆满佛？是因为太方便，所谓方便自用，既不能令嘛，又不受命，多数之人，所以万古神僧我说的。来不自由，去不得。你要走了，谁愿意走也，不可以。菩萨要走也不留。你就算你是正菩萨的口味，到了万古坟，你说，我这不愿意受你们的供养，我要跑了，哎，他就跑。无论哪一位菩萨，都是我这就是这么硬，对菩萨都是这么硬，所以我不给菩萨做扣子。我告诉你们，我不求我的菩萨，为什么呢？我如果应该他护持的，他给我护护，我不应该等着给他扣头他才护持。我要等，你要等着我给他扣个头，他才护我的法，那他又是一个贪官污吏。人家递个红包，他就设了无罪，没有红包就像你坐监狱去。所以我本着这种的道理，我是这个和我的菩萨不打交道，因为这个万佛坛第一次开幕的时候，在那山门口，我对2000多这个各处来的信徒，我说过这样的话。得罪了很多人，说什么呢？您我这个人呢是愚痴归愚痴。我说您各位有钱的注意，您到这儿来的，您买得起飞机票，都是有钱的，都是有钱的。你知道吧？我今天要和你们说一句真话，你们愿意听我也说，不愿意听我还要说。什么话呢？我说我这出家人。我生来呀就穷，出家了还是那么穷。可是虽然这么穷，我也不管你有钱的人，我最看不起的就是有钱的人。这一句话不要紧的，把很多的有钱的人呢，可都发了脾气，都要来清算了，要来斗争我。我一般不是我大事，没有的事，大家要来。质问了，为什么我他们都来是捧我的，给我的面子，为什么我要这么骂他？
然后他们有一个随团的顾问，也是个出家，叫这个达摩勒的，这是一个西兰的四十八的农民。他们去是因为是他们顾问呢，这个事情也不算个小事啊，想要来清算斗争我，大家得要不然万国城给分这个瓜分了，那么就问他好不好嘞？我说我清算斗争的，我这么样对他不客气。完了，他们呢，他是气的，呼呼气。说你啊，这一般人是七八十岁的都有，活的这么大年纪不懂佛法，我坐在那显化法师旁边，他所说的话一个字一句，每一个字每一句都是不当正法的。他所说的话，你们来反对他，那你就是反对佛教。你们如果这样的对他不客气，我现在和你不在一起，我们要各走各的，我也不做你们顾问。这么样一说，这些人才把这个气息要平了。平了最后怎么样呢？这有钱的人，包括我以前的闺女在内，这个人家叫张果物，半年多也不到那上来，就是因为我认为我侮辱他们有钱的人。所以你说讲真话是没有人愿意听的，讲假话要给他戴顶高帽子，他们都会像吃蜜糖那么甜。你看这个世界就是这么回事啊！你们虽然是这么回事，咱们还要做低分中的用户，灭火那里听听不要被时代所淘汰。
The Sama world human beings are very difficult to change to do. Why? Because they're stubborn, they're made of steel, not iron, they don't like to be told what to do. Most people are like that. But as we say to 17,000 Buddhas, it's difficult to get here, but not to go away. The Bodhisattvas choose to go, we don't beg them to stay. Now, the study that we just don't, if people want to go, whoever wants to go can do it. Even a Bodhisattva, if he doesn't want to receive offering,can go. So lots of people are just that tough. I don't bother with your bodhisattva, I'll tell you that now. Because I think it's...
Would you not do bad or good? I don't do bad or good, but I don't do bad or good. I don't do bad or good. I don't do bad or good. I don't do bad or good.
I bow to all bodhisattvas as an all-bound protectors too, but I don't bow to them as to seeking them.I don't go hoping to get anything back. That's the difference. My feeling is if Waito Bodhisattva, if I bow to him only when I need help, and it's only because I make an offering that he chooses to pay attention to him, then he's very much like a greedy official taking a bribe. It shouldn't be that way. So I don't really bow to Waito Bodhisattva and make an offering and think he notices me then.At the 17,000 Buddhas, the day that we opened the light there, there were many, many people. There were several thousands of people. There were many disciples. And I said something that made many of them angry. What did I say? Well, I'll tell you now. The stupid thing that I said was, all of you rich people, please pay attention to this. I know you bought airplane tickets to come here, so there are many rich people. And what do you like to hear what I have to say? I'm going to say it. If you don't like to hear what I have to say, I'm going to say it anyway.Which is this, all my life I have been a poor man. I have left a home life and I'm still a poor monk. Even at this age, I'm still very poor. And all my life, my attitude has been that those who I look down on the most are rich people. Now having said this, all the rich people who were there in the center banded together and took great offense and they decided they wanted to liquidate me. They wanted to struggle against me and overthrow me. That's how angry they were. So they went to ask their advisor what he thought about it. He said they cried and complained, why doesn't he praise me? I've been protected here. Why didn't he just give me his insult? They had an advisor who came with them. His name was Venerable Dhammananda. He is a Theravada monk in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And he, when he heard this, they had come to get a struggle meeting to give to overthrow me. He got so angry, he just puffed up and turned red and started to spout like people. And he said, many of you are 70 years old, 80 years old. He said, do you understand the Buddha Dharma at all? Every single word the Venerable Abbot says propagates the proper Dharma. And if you go ahead and intend to do what you say you're going to do, I'm not going to be the least bit polite to you. Our partnership is true. You can leave or I will leave. But I will have nothing further to do with you from that point on. And that's what he said. And he scared them to the point where they decided that they weren't going to try to liquidate anymore. They weren't going to tear Marco Trump down, city 1,000 meters down, brick by brick. Now, even though the mutiny was quelled by Master Dhammananda, all of the rich people, and this included my own disciple, who was in his humble room, felt very much like they'd been insulted. And that's just the way it is, which is that if you talk true, nobody listens. And if you tell people praise, however, they feel that it's just as sweet as eating honey, even though it's not true in the least. So that's just how strange you are.
Thank you.
不然也不是一条就要跑了。他说恐怕生活这种困难，所以他就上船了，就去了。他在大海里面突然间这个风不吹了，那个船就摆在那儿。他说奇怪，在空中他听到这个声音，很奇怪，他说好像他看见师父的面容，就觉得非常快乐，非常自在，他从来没有觉得很舒服。他应该回去了，应该完他这个不知不觉为什么要皈依那个愿，所以他就说不可不回去了。但是那个警戒奇怪，在那几天了，令他非常快乐。他也不懂得什么警戒了，他就那个船就带到美大都，他就回去上算是听说皈依。上门就完他的愿，然后他就是我回会来一次，他去了以后或者重来也是会来的意思。
Oh, too much trouble. And so, without knowing why, he ran out. He got on board a ship and sailed down in the Bahamas. And on board the ship, there was no wind one day. The ship was very still. And he said it was a very strange, unusual state. He'd never had one like it before. And suddenly, he felt very blissful, very happy, and very much at ease, like he'd never felt before in his whole life. And then he said, in empty space, he felt like he saw the master's face. And the master was extremely kind and extremely gentle. And he felt like he wanted to go back to where the master was and find out what it was that gave him that first idea to take refuge. So he just turned around and went right back and made his request to take refuge again. The master accepted him, and at that point he wasn't afraid to become a Buddha. So he got the name the Fruit of Returning and Constantly Coming Back.
1979年到马来西亚去，头一次去，头一次去就惹了很多麻烦。我本来也不愿意见那么多人，可是这个人呢，一早进去就在那儿跪埋怨了。马来西亚是很热的地方，他那个卫生设备也不够，要走一段路啊才到那个洗手间。啊，这个人呢，我到厕所去，他们就堵着不叫去，不叫去的这个把路堵得严严的。这个也说叫加持，那个也说他有什么病，那个都是啊，跪一地都是来等着这么贪而无厌的，就是知道自己要病好，而不知道人家要到厕所的苦。啊，我就说了，我说你们再也不给我让一条路啊，我就向你们头上小便。啊，这一下子把他们吓得都闪开远一条小路，挤到厕所去。所以以后啊，我再不太敢到马来西亚去了。然后呢，于是乎他们就跑到万佛城来，万佛城呢，他们没有法子堵我了，因为他们也这个不敢那么样子无礼了。这个希望台湾呢，不要再像马来西亚，不要像马来西亚那么不讲道理。你们有病的，我已经对你们说过，我讲经的时候啊，在没讲之前或者我不说话的时候，给你们所有的人呢，这个加持了。这个加持不要有形有相的，我没讲。在香港那个小孩他也没有见过，就对着相片念念，他70多天心脏扩大就好了。 这个不需要一定有形有相的，你们不要那么迷信，招住到我啊，一定要如何如何。你这个感应道交啊，你只要有信心，你信心够了，他就感染随通了。不必一定要怎么样子啊，一定要给我叩几个头啊，然后又要摸摸顶啊，不需要这样子。那么希望你们以后啊，不要禁锢自己，不要定为自己啊什么毛病就来围着令我这个我坐在外边那儿，因为我也觉得他凉爽，你们围到也四周围都危险了，比什么地方都热了，那也没有暖气，你说你们这么样子对我，我再敢不敢来台湾了。尤其我没吃饭，你就知道你们有病，我这个恶病，你说比你们是不是会难过的？因为今天是八天，你们都不替我设想，就为你们自己打算。
I recall it was in 1979 we went to Malaysia, and there was a lot of trouble there. I didn't want to see all those people necessarily, but there they were, kneeling, and in this place where we were, it was very hot, you know, in Malaysia, and they were filling up the ground, they were kneeling there, so many people. And the way it is in Malaysia is that the facilities were not sufficient. Toilet was quite a few feet away from where we were staying. We had to walk to get to the privy. And the people were kneeling there and blocking the road. This one was saying, oh, bless me. And that was saying, I'm sick, please cure me. They were all making their own demands like this. They were, had their heads bowed down, and they were greedy without end, just totally insatiable. They were demanding that I cure them. And they only knew about getting their illness cured. They didn't know anything about my situation, which was I had to get to the bathroom. So what I said was, if you don't give me room to go to the bathroom, I'm going to urinate on your heads right here and now. And when they heard this, they were so scared that they managed to give me a little bit of a room so I could squeeze my way by and get to the bathroom. But after that, I never dared return to Malaysia. You understand? Those people instead, they came to the city of 10,000 Buddhas and found out a little bit more, and there's more room there, so they didn't block me. They didn't dare block my road or be so unreasonable anymore. So I hope that the people of Taiwan will not learn from those in Malaysia and be as unreasonable as they are. Now, as I announced earlier, people who are sick or have some particular problem, during the time before I talk or when I am silent, I'm giving you the aid that you see, giving you the blessings. Now, it doesn't have to have any shape or any appearance to it. Didn't I tell you about the child who had never seen me before, but after 70 days of reciting my name, his oversized heart reduced itself to normal size, and he was all better. You don't need any kind of superstitious performance.
这一次来呀，有这么多人出家的，这个出家要发大菩提心，不是像一般人说出家安口锅和在家差不多。出家人必须要做出家人的事情。出家人做什么事呢？要忍人所不能忍的，让人所不能让的。吃人所不能吃的，是受人所不能受的；行人所不能行的，做人所不能做的。一定要出乎其类，拔乎其萃。这样的出家对佛教 才能啊，有发扬光大的机会。您如果出家人和在家人还没有什么分别，出在家人天天呢去赚钱做生意，出家人呢也是啊一天到晚的钱挂到我脑海里头，这个是啊对出家未免是太没有价值。咱们出家人要把这个财也忘了它，色也不记得，名更不要，吃的那么吃饱了就算了，不需要宅食，不需要一定要吃好的。咱们这个吃东西就因为啊医治我们这个恶病，我们如果不饿呢，不吃东西是省很多麻烦的。所以嘛，我们不要为这个臭皮囊啊颠颠倒倒的，这个是一个甲气虚窍四大甲合啊，地水火风合合而成。你把它要认真了，那么你自信的智慧光明啊就都障住了。所以你要能把它看得破放得下，你本有的智慧才能现前的啊。你要只着这个身体，只着这个享受，这都是对这个修行啊是一个最大的障碍。你们既然出家了啊，要懂得这个出家的道理。方才我说不要女的出家的不要想男朋友，男的出家的不要想女朋友。这个你们别看我这个常常呵斥这个这果真啊，他呢出家到现在大要还不太敢想他的女朋友。他的女朋友是这个可口可乐的美国那可口可乐的是什么副总裁呀，是什么现在在美国政府做一个大官呢，给布什的女儿啊要和他结婚啊，他大要怕麻烦，所以就出家了。那么出家以后还有很多女孩打他主意，这个马来西亚来一个40多岁的就为他颠倒就又爱上他，以后就被我给打跑了。对，他走路也要跟着你，在你前边后边，拜佛也是要在你旁边和你一起，那是什么意思？发狂了。
So many people have now left the home life. You should make the great Bodhi resolve. Don't be like the phrase that says, leaving home is very much like being at home. You want to do the things that left home people do. You want to bear what people cannot bear up under. You want to yield what people cannot yield. You want to eat what people cannot eat. You want to endure what other people cannot endure.Practice what other people cannot practice, and do things that doesn't have a chance to grow big and flourish. If your behavior after you leave home is just like an at-home person, that is to say, you're constantly concerned with money, and you put money right in front of your eyes all the time, then your leaving home has no value at all. When we leave the home life, we want to forget money and beauty, we want to not remember.Fame is something we want even less. And as for food, if we want to see food as very ordinary, we don't want to have an eye that selects good flavors out and be so concerned about it. If we're not hungry, The only reason that we eat is to simply live on, just to give some fuel so we can live on. It's not for pleasure. If we are not hungry, I'm sorry, the Master said the only reason to eat is to cure the sickness of hunger. If we're not hungry, and then we can avoid eating, we save a whole lot of trouble. We don't want to be so upside down for the body, because it's just a false accumulation of earth, air, fire, and water. Earth, air, fire, and wind. The four elements that come together falsely. If we take it as so real and assume it as the genuine thing, then we will block our wisdom. And if we can see through it and put it down, then our wisdom will appear. So if we are attached to pleasure, then it will be a big obstacle to our cultivation. Now you've been able to leave the home life, and I wanted to tell you about the principles here. Earlier I said that if you are a female who leaves the home life, then you don't want to think about your boyfriends. That's what counts. And if you're a man who leaves the home life, you don't want to think about your girlfriends. That's what counts. Look at Guojun here, who doesn't think about his girlfriend after he left home. She was the daughter of an executive in Coca-Cola company who's now doesn't dare think about her, who is now on President Bush's cabinet. And I guess he was afraid that there would be all kinds of troubles. So instead of getting married, he left the home life. And then in Malaysia, there are a lot of women who paid attention to him. There was a 40-year-old who I had to beat, and I finally chased her away with a stick because she was attached to her crazy thinking. There's a question. Please explain the line, the world will divide into three parts.
你想去做皇帝吗? 问这个问题。 就是说现在一个大三国，以前是个小三国，现在大三国，都逐鹿世界，都是在国际间的三个大国来领导世界，这叫世与三分。
The question was, please explain the line in the prediction poem, The 100 Years of Chinese History, that the world we divided into three parts. And the Master's first answer was, I don't know. But then he said, this will be a great tripartite world, it will be a small tripartite world. Three kingdoms? Okay. They will lead the entire world. That is to say, the international situation will be such that there will be three major countries that will lead the whole world.
在香港呢，有一个罗太太，这个罗太太嘛，没有孙子，没有孙子嘛，就在跑到佛堂来求孙子，要我帮她求个孙子。 那么他很诚心的，我也不好推辞。过了有大约半年多吧，我有一次洗脚，正在那洗脚啊，他来了，我就叫他，我说你想要孙子吗？想要孙子，把我洗脚水喝了他。 好吧，认为我是讲笑话，喝不下去，这洗脚水很邋遢呢。我说你不喝，你没有孙子，不要再向我要孙子了。 我说那我自己把它喝了它，我自己把我自己血里洗脚水就喝了，喝完了他就大哭，就笑不出来了，大哭。我说你不要哭了，你没有喝，你也会有孙子的，回去了。啊，那没有多久啊，他就有孙子。又来叫我给起个名字叫德昌，罗德昌。这个小孩子现在不知道多大了。我那么在加拿大那儿那些个居士，你说他无知识不无知识啊？居然呢，这个就听说我喝口水呀，大爷他们不是要我的口水喝，要这个洗脚水喝，他们想要我的口水。要口水也不好，也不好讲，那么就给我倒杯茶来，那么就说，我说我也不喝茶，不喝，不喝你吐几口吐门道里头，就可以了，那我也不知道他们干什么，就吐到里去，吐到里去，他们拿着自己就是大家这么分着像宝贝似的，他们都喝了。你说这是不是迷信？这样一来不要紧呢，就这个贪心鬼呀、这个果真呢、他也生出贪心了，他就给我拿去一个玻璃瓶子，玻璃瓶子要什么呢？说师傅啊，你要沐浴的时候，我要你沐浴的水啊，我要留着来喝啊。我说你真 stupid 啊。你要这个干什么？所以我也不给他，所以他到现在也没有喝到我的沐浴水。
I'll tell you another embarrassing thing. There was Mrs. Lo in Hong Kong who didn't have a grandchild, and she wanted grandchildren most of all. She came to the Buddha Hall especially to seek a grandchild. And she was very sincere, so it's difficult to say no to her. And a half year passed after her request, and there I was washing my feet. And she came and made her request. She wanted grandchildren. So I told her, if you want grandchildren, then you should drink this feet washing water. And she thought, oh, it's a joke. He doesn't mean it. And of course, my feet washing water was very dirty. And so I said, well, if you don't drink it, you've come asking for grandchildren, then I'm afraid you're not going to get any grandchildren. And so I took the water and I drank it myself. When she saw me drink it, she cried, but she wasn't laughing then. She realized she'd lost a chance. So I said, oh, well, even though you didn't drink the water, you can maybe still get grandchildren. And who would guess that before 6 months was up, she got grandchildren all the same. And I gave him a name, De Sang, and Mo De Sang, and I don't know how big he is now, he's somewhere. But the people in Canada, lay people there, would you say they're stupid or not? They heard about my foot washing water story, and what they wanted was my saliva. They wanted some saliva to drink. But how do you go about asking for saliva to drink? So what they did, they came up with a method. They said, would you like some tea? And they offered me some tea. And I said, no, I don't want any tea. So they said, well, could you spit in it a couple times? And so I did. I spit in it a couple times. And what do you suppose? They divided it up into little portions, and they all drank it down, just like it was a treasure. So that's really superstitious. But then there's that greedy ghost disciple, Guojun again. And he gave me a bottle, and he said, Shifu, would you please put your bathtub water in this bottle, because I want to keep it when you're not here and drink it. And I said, really stupid. So he hasn't gotten his bath water yet.
So now,
I haven't fulfilled his vow even to this day.
first visit for hearing from the sutras. Buddha-dharma is not apart from the world. If we really understand world dharmas, just that is world transcendent dharma. And when we realize and understand Buddha-dharma, it's not apart from the world, but we understand it. The important line in this verse is awakening. If we understand all the myriad phenomena in the world, then we understand Buddhism. If we leave all the myriad phenomena in the world and look for Buddhism and go out seeking what is unusual and far away, then that's just like looking for horns or antlers on top of a rabbit's head. It doesn't exist. Worldly dharmas and world transcendent dharmas are this way. Most people in the world use greed, hatred, stupidity to do the things they do. World transcendent dharmas require that we use real practice of precept, concentration, and wisdom to do what we do. Discussing greed, it's not only greed for money or for beauty, but greed appears any time and place. For instance, greed for merit or greed for fame, all alike are the same old greed and poison. And if we want to cultivate, then we must precept, cut off greed, regulate our greed. Anger, also called hatred. If there's something that has a tiny bit of advantage for us, then we go and contend for it. We fight for and compete. And because of this anger and rage that arises as we continue to fight, we do stupid things. We crave and feel avarice and lust for what we want. And we fear absolutely nothing in the pursuit of getting it. We don't worry about cause and effect. We don't worry about the retribution involved. We don't care for the country's laws. We have to get what we want. And this is simply stupid. And in the process, we create offenses.
Nyāni yīyē yīyā hāngkāyī tūvā yō tūngyā tūngyā. Nyāhā yīyā yīyā tūyā tūngyā.
Practice what we hear. If not, then it's simply useless to begin with.
Is it the case that all you do is just sing along with the crowd, everybody is reciting, so I go recite, everybody is bowing, so I will bow, everybody is meditating, so I will meditate? If so, if we just simply follow along, then this is all considered a return by the state. And this is done by people who don't understand the Buddha. Look at the sixth patriarch. The great master of the sixth patriarch arrived at the monastery of the fifth patriarch and spent 8 months doing hard labor all by himself. He didn't ask a single time for personal instruction. Now, we ask for instructions all the time, and we hear a lot, but we don't do any part of what we hear. The sixth patriarch used his skill. He simply used spiritual skill in every single successive thought. He wasn't greedy and didn't contend. He didn't seek. He wasn't selfish. He didn't want his own advantages, and he didn't tell lies. Now, if we get conscious, if we get instructions, ultimately, it doesn't help us out enough. We should ask him.
Yeah,
笑啊，不要忙求家人，不要跟那个光阴的困惑。Also, I see here in Taiwan and also in Malaysia that many people, as soon as they see me, the first time, come and ask for blessings. They want aid. They want me to bless them. I want to ask you, why don't you bless yourself today? Coming to ask for somebody else to go give me blessings is a kind of greed. It's seeking. What's more, the attitude behind it is usually just curiosity, a love of the strange. Have you ever blessed anyone else? Why do you ask for other people who don't bless you? What is the purpose of it? It's simply a manifestation of seeking outside. This is looking for the Dharma outside your own mind, running out. There's another point, which is people who bow to the Buddha often, as they are circumambulating, may see me standing to one side. And when they do, they often put their palms together and make a salutation, make a half bow. And somebody who does this does not understand the Buddha Dharma at all. When we recite the Buddha's name, it should be the case that the wind cannot blow through us and the rain cannot make us wet. Our concentration has to be that kind of solid. Above, we shouldn't know that the heaven exists. Below our feet, we shouldn't be aware of the earth. And in the middle, we shouldn't pay attention to the existence of any people. We should simply recite with our whole heart. If we can really concentrate on our recitation, then you won't even know that I'm standing to your side. You won't pay attention. Not only me, even if the Buddha himself were here beside you, there is no need to salute him, to put your palms together and catch his attention or stop your recital. That's what we're trying to do. So when you see me standing there, do not, after this, put your palms together and salute me or greet me. Not only does it interrupt you, but also interrupts what I'm doing, and yet you feel it's respectful. Well, in Buddhism, it's the most disrespectful thing you can do. Why? Because you are obstructing your hope of having any accomplishment at all. When you're reciting on one hand, but greeting somebody on the other, your mind is scattered. There's no concentration left. It's just as if in your mind you were counting numbers for a second off. No more meaning that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What's the use of that? Meaning. So, everybody, pay close attention. When we study the principles of the Dharma, we want to use the principles of the Dharma. We don't want to simply follow along blindly. If we do that, then we're wasting all our time.
Now,